grace of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Listen to this. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up. Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory.
Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to have Bob and them back with us. And the Yangins. Get them Yangins back. Get back up here and sling and play. They do a good job, amen? Amen? Amen, they do a good job. Good to have the young ones coming up. Good to have a group of young ones coming up, of all things. So, Just keep the ones that are still gone into prayer, Brother Joe Canada there at Brother, gee, forgot his name. Brother Fred Mullins Church in Mullins, South Carolina. Florence, I guess you might say. Yeah, in Florence, South Carolina. So they'll be back home end of the week. So good to be here. Middle of the week. Get a little bit of work done tonight. And we'll see what the Lord has for us. If you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Revelation 6. remember all the announcements. For those of you that just came in, birthday party middle of between services for Brother Dale, barbecue for the adults, hot dogs are just for the kids. Hot dogs are just for the kids. Okay, hot dogs, this is for the kids. And it's not for your big kids, for the kids. But, and next Sunday will be extremely challenging because we're going to eat cake too, and then we got to come up here and sit here for a couple hours in a warm building. So everybody make sure you bring extra toothpicks to put in your eyes so you can keep your eyelids open. I'll see if I can make it interesting enough so you don't have to go to sleep, but obviously I don't sometimes. So I'm like Brother like Brother Pinkston said, I try to get to you before you go to the land of Nod. So we'll see what we can do. But we're still on the sixth seal. This is part nine. You see, we're going to talk a little bit about birth pains. Remember, next Saturday will be the spring fling. It'll be at the Gillsville City Park where it's always been. And just prepare for that. Also, April the 21st, I'll be at Brother Matthews in Mobile, Alabama. And at Brother... where am I else am I going? Dutch. Dutch Scott's the week after that. So just keeps on your prayers. And I've told you a couple months ago that there is an interval between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. There's an interval between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet. There's an interval between the plagues and all the different things. There's a gap in there. So maybe by next Sunday, we'll get to the end of the sixth seal, and then we'll have a gap. I'll be gone a couple of weeks, and then we'll be able to get started again in that gap, because I believe there's something in there, because Brother Ram says in between there's a prophet comes on the scene. Right, right. Amen? So thank God for that. Without a prophet, we would just be floundering around not knowing what we're talking about. So thank God for God sending us a prophet in the end time. So let's bow our heads before we get started. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you tonight. Here we are in the middle of the week, Lord, to get a little charge to get us through till the weekend, Father. I pray that you would just give us all that little boost, something, Lord, that we can chew on till next Sunday, something that we can ponder in our heart, and that we can make it become a part of us. As John ate the book became part of John. And then John began talking about the book. Lord, I pray that we be that. We'll be a witness. That you'll be made manifest in our life. And Lord, tonight you will do the speaking. You will do the revelation part. Lord, we've sang songs. We've prayed for sick. Now it's time to hear from you, Father. We pray now that you just touch us. Be with us. If there be any sick among us tonight, we pray that you would touch each one, heal them as we're speaking, Father, that the word will go forth and be made manifest in flesh. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes, Lord. Just cover us by your blood. We need that every moment. Just reading what the prophet said about the token, we must apply that token and keep that thing over us, Lord, because Satan surely would love to disrupt this program. But you promised that there would be a group of people in the end time that would overcome and that would crush the power of the devil. What a wonderful thing. Thank you for that, Father. Just bless us now and take care of us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld, and when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And all this is nature. This is all coming about nature. There was a great earthquake. That's something happening to nature. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, which she is shaken of a mighty wind. You know, it's kind of interesting that this seal is to Israel, and God puts in there about a fig tree. We know Israel is typed out as a fig tree. The fig tree. Amen. So he's telling us it's even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, because they're going to be a part, they're going to be on earth when this is going on. The 144,000 is going to be brought out while this is going on.
Right.
All right. When she is shaken of a mighty wind, and they're going to be shaken of a mighty wind by two prophets.
Right.
Amen. There's two prophets going to just absolutely control nature when we get out of here. But you and I have got to go through a process now to where God will take and destroy our old nature.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, and the heavens departed as a scroll as it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men. So if you're a great man and a rich man and a chief captain and a mighty man, you're not going to make the rapture. That's what it says. Because they're still there, and that kind of king. Amen. And the mighty man and every bondman and every free man, that's kind of everybody. That's everybody. Those people are still going to be on this earth, so they're not going to be bride. They're not going to be, they might be some foolish virgin in there, but they're definitely not going to be bride, because we're gone. When any of this happens, we're gone. All right? Amen? We're actually, being gone causes this, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Being that we disappear from this earth causes not just the birth pain. We know the birth pain's happening now, but there will be a delivery. You can have birth pains all you want to, but there's got a baby come forth. There's got a something come out. Something got to be birthed. And said to the mountain and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Because remember, the Lamb is the Redeemer. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let's read Romans 8, verse 19 through 23, and I'll let you be seated. For the earnest expectation, we've read this many, many times, but I think it needs to be read again. For the earnest expectation of the creature.
Right.
Now that is creation. Look in your Bible. It translates that to creation. So for the earnest expectation of the creation that we were just talking about in Revelations, waiteth for the manifestation of you and me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen?
Right.
For the creature, our creation, was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Remember, Adam sinned, and the whole nature fell under him. All right, all nature fell when Adam fell. That's why they call it a fall. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In other words, there's another Adam coming. There's another Adam that when the first Adam fell, there was Genesis 3:15, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. In other words, I'm going to come back and I'm going to right the ship. I'm going to make this thing come back up again. Because that's what redemption is. Redemption is not replacement. Redemption is bringing up that which was fallen. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. So everything's tied to me and you,
right?
All right? If you're a child of God. For we know, I hope we do now, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
Amen.
And not only they, but ourselves. In other words, nature's groaning, you and I are groaning. All right? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's you and I that are born again, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. You may be seated in the Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the word. To wit, or to witness, or to understand the redemption of the body. And that's what we must come to in this sixth seal purging. Because remember, the sixth seal is the tribulation period. Let's finish this first set of quotes here just to revisit a little bit. It's quote number one from the sixth seal. Brother Brown says, this sixth seal is the tribulation period. So we know one thing's for sure. And I've told you many times before, if I don't have any other revelation, none, if I have no other revelation of what I'm even talking about, I know one thing's for sure. I was thinking about it today while I was on my mail route. I joy in the fact that I'm born again. And I will never have to face a judgment.
Right.
I'm already judged.
Amen.
There's no judgment I have to go to. Sure, there's a judgment of the deeds done in the body. That's minor stuff. I'm not talking about if you miss this thing and go through that tribulation period, you will go to the white throne of judgment and you will have a laundry list. That you did do this, you didn't do that, you did do this, you didn't do that. Because the Bible says you'll be judged by your works. I never want to be judged by my works. I want to be judged by His works. Because His works are perfect. So if I hide in that, then my works are perfect also. Amen. That's what to me, what this sixth seal is opening up more to me, showing that how that God and man are so one, that we're missing a point. Remember I said before, we've always thought maybe we were a little bit two-ness. You know, it's God over here and me over here. Well, we know it's Christ in us, but we're waiting on Him to do something.
Yeah.
Are we waiting on Him to do something? Or is He waiting on us to do something?
Amen.
Amen. He knows the end of the story. We don't. All right, so He knows what it's going to take. He wrote it in the Bible. There's no other way He could have wrote it. He wrote it so we could read it. But this seal is the tribulation period. And you and I definitely do not go through a tribulation period, which is that tribulation. Now, sure, we all go through daily tribulation. Oh, y'all don't. Come to my house. Come to my house. We'll talk about tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience. We have to have problems and trials in life. But that tribulation period is the wrath of God poured out on a godless group of people. Me and Brother Dale was talking about the other day. Do you realize that when we leave this earth, the Holy Ghost is only going to be in two people out of 7 billion people? Why do you think this earth is going to be in such a turmoil? You say, well, it's going to be because of the two prophets. Not exactly. I said not exactly, because if we don't come to our position and get this thing changed, then they're not going to be able to do their job. They're over there. Now, really, come on. They're over there. The spirit of Elijah, if you can see the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Moses, they're over there going, come on, bride. Come on, bride. Hurry up. We got a job to do. We know what to do. We're in there in the book of Revelations. We know we're going to Israel. You understand what I'm saying? So they're waiting on us. Brother Brown said, waiting on you and I. What, adoption time? What we're looking at. We must come. That's why that you don't see it preached so much, but we must come to adoption. We must come to where God can talk not with you and you say, thus saith the Lord.
Right.
Oh yeah, Brother Brown said the bride will have thus saith the Lord. Keep still. I don't read in the Bible where it says, thus saith the Lord, you say to this mountain. It says, you say to this mountain.
Right.
Whatever you say. That's why I said we must come to the place, and what I was trying to get the people in the Philippines to see, that we are God made manifest in another form. We're not a second person. We are the I am. We are the one that walked in eternity. Now, not as humans, we know that. But I was identified in my father. My genetics was in the man when he said, let there be light. And that same one that said, let there be light is in you tonight.
Amen.
That's the creator. He did not become the creator and then he don't create anymore. There were some squirrels come to existence from something.
Right.
Actually, there were squirrels come to existence from nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. If you know what Jesus did, watch Jesus when he, in his life, Jesus had to take something and then multiply. Took bread, took fish, took water. Then we got a little prophet steps out and says, I want you to understand one thing. God is now manifested in human flesh. And let there be a squirrel come out on that limb. And you know what? I don't think that squirrel had to get with a daddy squirrel and a mama squirrel to make a baby squirrel. You understand what I mean? Then that squirrel had to eat. No, it happened just like that. Just like when that creator stood out there and said, let there be a sun. Let there be a moon. Let there be stars.
Amen.
It happened.
Right.
And that same God is not a lesser God dwelling in you.
Right.
You make Him less.
Right.
You make Him less.
Right.
You put Him through a funnel.
Exactly.
Right. And I. Because the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The reason we come to a place, look, that's what takes place. The bride has gone. There's no living creature. Now, what's that? The lion, ox, man, and eagle. Nothing there to say it. In other words, look, the reason this world goes upside down is because there is no grace on this earth. And when you and I have come to a place that the birth pain has taken this person and has changed him into an eternal person, even in this dimension, and the dead saints, what? Something's going to happen, folks. Something's got to happen when those dead saints come out of the ground. It's just not going to be a... No. No. Earthquakes, whatever you want to call it. Something's going to happen. It doesn't have to crack the graves open. Listen, they didn't have to be an earthquake at Jesus' resurrection to get the stone open, to get the stone out of the way. You know, the world didn't tilt like this so the stone could move. No, all he done was just twisted his finger and that thing just went. Amen? That's just the way I see it. But there was an earthquake. Nature had to yield to the man standing on earth, because at that time, when he stepped out of that tomb, there was no man had walked like that on the face of the earth. Amen? Sure, God had come down into Melchizedek and put a little dust on him and walked out and talked to Abraham. He come in as a captain of the host, but that wasn't our Savior. Jesus Christ had came to earth. He died. The prophet had to die. He died for me and you. But he didn't stay there. The proof of the resurrection is in you, because that same man stepped out of that tomb and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. It wasn't before. He was caught in those time dimension. He was caught in our dimension. You say, well, he had to sleep. He had to eat. There was things he had to do because he was a human being. He had to be that to be our brother. Because in Romans 8, if you'll read, don't go to it, but in Romans 8 before that, it says we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Whatever he gets, we get. Amen. At the new birth. Amen. But we must grow up in adoption to where, look, excuse me, these virtues are God's attributes. And when you get born again, you get born again at faith. You don't automatically get virtue. You don't automatically get knowledge. Did you start as a baby and all of a sudden you're in college? No. You started as a baby. And you come all the way up and you learn by the things you suffered how to do math. I didn't, because I like math, but the English I suffered. You can tell that by the way I talk. But all these are what? Those are a victory. Those are an overcoming. When you overcome that what? That knowledge that Satan gave you. That temperance. God didn't ever give you temper. Right? God, Satan gives you all that. So what you do is you have to take the reverse of that. Because Brother Brown says, oh, now virtues, live a virtuous life. Well, listen, we were all born virgins. Literally, we were all born virgins. We made ourselves the other way. But that doesn't mean virgin life. That means power and strength coming from what? Inside of what God has given you. That virtue came out of Jesus. He didn't have to go get it somewhere. And he obviously didn't have to work it up. He did not have to work it up. He just knew who he was when he stepped out of that house in the morning. Virtue or strength just went out from him. Amen? So that's the way it is with you and I. Each one of these is truly a birth pain. We're birthed into all these. That's why I love the teaching of the statue of perfect man. And, you know, people just think we're right up here and that's just the way it is. Well, that's not true. That's why we've been here for 50 years. That's why we've been here for 50 years. We're not waiting on a prophet to come back. We're waiting on us to realize what he's already said about us. We ain't got that part fixed yet. True? We get that part fixed, we might get him back here. But it's all hinged on me and you. It's all hinged on what you and I can believe what God's already done for us. All right? But thank God we do not have to go through that tribulation period. But that tribulation period comes because you and I are gone. Because you and I, remember, when we come to where I read Revelation 6, verse 12, and I behold when he opened the sixth seal, you and I are not here. There is no bride in the church ages here. There is no one here with the Holy Ghost. That's why it, Brother Brown says, the tribulation period is the wrath of God poured out upon a sinless people. I mean, a sinning people. Sinners, right? We're not sinners. I just told you. Thank God. One thing I know, and it's been revealed to me that at this time, I am gone. I am not here anymore. I don't have to go through that tribulation. We may have to go through a little bit here, but you know what? That's just minute from what about being here and you cry for the rocks. You're multimillionaire or you've got whatever you got and all of a sudden you have nothing. Right. You cry for the rocks to fall on you and they don't. Right. You cry for God to kill you because you know there's a wrath that's being poured out like never before. Listen, these wars and things we've had, Brother Bram said they were temporary tribulation. Right. Temporary. Even what Israel went, or the Jews went through when Hitler killed 6 million Jews, that was a temporary tribulation. That's nothing, that's not even a dot on the map of what that tribulation is going to be. Because that tribulation, the sixth seal tribulation, is going to be worldwide. Right. Worldwide. Nobody. Right. No one. Until God comes into two prophets and brings out 144,000, they're still under this tribulation period. Right. Amen? This whole world is still, but now remember, there's a time in this tribulation period of 3.5 years that they're going to be called out, the 1260 days that the Jews are going to be called out, the 144,000, and then the Battle of Armageddon is going to happen. Then there's time left after that until the millennium comes in. So we got to be really careful with that to see that we're gone for this whole period of any kind of tribulation. None, zero, zilch, nada. But God is getting ready to put the world into a millennium. He's going to let that world rest for 1,000 years. But if you and I have an entered into our rest here, then you know what? We're going to be part of the tribulation. Amen? So you and I have to enter into this tribulation, enter into this rest. That's why Jesus said, there's not a day. The rest day is when you got the new birth. Your soul is at rest. Now what happens though is now you get out to the spirit realm and that's where God's got to work on us. God's got to work on us. This is your spirit realm he's working on. Listen, if you have the new birth, you got God Almighty inside of you. Actually, you are God Almighty in that soul part. That theophany is the same theophany of God. If it's different, then it's the devil. That's why I said we got to quit being two-ness. It's not something God put in you that's different from God. It is God that decided to put himself in you. Amen? That's just the way he decided to do it. I'm just telling you what he said. Because I think the Bible says, and I got it right here, I in you, and you in me. Brother Bram said at that day, he said, that's this day. So it's happening in this day. This day these scriptures are being fulfilled. This day you and I are not prophesying. We are living the actual prophecy of the Bible and what the Brother Branham told us. We are living that prophecy because he saw a group of people that would grasp it and that would hold on to it and it would what? Make it manifest. Number two. Well, we know that this sixth seal is the judgment seal. See, it's the judgment seal. Exactly. See, we've had the Antichrist ride, seen the church go. Now it's finished. Goes up. Now remember, the bride's gone. There's no more bride left. The bride's gone. Then we see the martyrs of them Jews back there under the altar. He's talking about the fifth sealed Jew. Now here's the breaking forth of the judgment upon the people where out of this tribulation judgment will come forth 144,000 redeemed Jews. Now remember, they are not going to be bride. They have fell from that position down to servant, or they're going to be given the Holy Ghost, but look, they're not going to be bride. I wish you would really, really, if you've never done it before, sit down for an hour and just don't think of nothing but what Brother Dale's telling us about all in all. Because that only happens to his bride. Now we know there's benefits. There's other people that will benefit from this. But God is, there's not, we were talking about this the other day, there's not 14 different forms of eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life. But there are positions in that eternal life. Hello? There's positions. The Bible says we'll be kings and priests, so you gotta have something to rule over if you're a king and a priest, right? By Revelation 5, we'll be kings and priests and reign over this earth. We don't have a position as a foolish virgin, but the foolish virgin is going to be given the same eternal life you got.
Right.
Not a different one, same one, but you've come to a position they didn't ever come to.
Right.
You're a bride.
Amen.
You're his wife.
Amen.
You're not a servant.
Right.
You're not imparted eternal life.
Amen.
They are imparted eternal life. You and I, we possess it right here.
Glory.
Today. We don't have to wait on it. That's why I said I thank God I don't have to wait on getting eternal life.
Right.
We got it now.
Right.
Let's use it.
Amen.
To change this body
right.
into an eternal body.
Amen.
Amen. That's the way you'll get changed.
Right.
I'm sorry, Abby, I'm going to stand right here. Abby's running the camera tonight. I'll prove to you they're Jews and not Gentiles. Now, we ought to know that. We know that. Okay? The 144,000 has nothing to do with the Gentiles.
Right.
Two prophets has nothing to do with the Gentiles.
Right.
Right? Gentiles are nations and we're gone. We're dogs. So they're not even going to listen to us. But when we're out of here, those Jews are going to say, hey, you lost your brideship.
Right.
But I have come to save you.
Amen?
Amen? Because remember, they realize that and they say, oh my goodness. We've killed our very Messiah. He said, don't worry. Just like Joseph said, don't worry. It was done for your protection. It was done so I could take a Gentile bride, and it was done to preserve Egypt for 7 years of 14 years, really, of famine. Had 7 years of good and 7 years of famine, right? That's a type of Christ coming to the Jews, the Benjamin group, and saying, hey, Benjamin's gone like, hey, we killed that. We acted like we killed that. Our brother. Remember, they threw him in the pit? Beautiful type there with Joseph and Christ. They have nothing to do with the bride, not a thing. The bride, we done seen the bride gone. So we know in the Revelations 19, he didn't mean the book of Acts, he meant the book of Revelations.
Yeah.
He was a human being. Now notice, for the sixth seal is the judgment seal of the Word. I want you to see that judgment seal of the Word. Listen, this is not just one day. There's a, you know, God's not sitting up here with a calendar and there's a little red X right here. No, that's why I'm coming back. No, he's coming back when we get ready.
Right.
He's ready to come back now.
Right.
But he's waiting on you and I.
Amen.
To come to what? To take that eternal life to a position of not a bride anymore, but a wife.
Right.
Revelation 19 is a wife. Look, this is a bride. This is a wife. There's your position. I didn't hear many amens on that.
Amen.
That is when you first got born again.
Yeah.
Your bride and brand new bride and groom, you're learning each other. It's exactly what happens in your natural life.
Right.
You're learning to love each other. Amen? But when you come up and, you know, 20, 30, now me and June will be 40 years this year. Some of you more than that. But now she's my wife.
Yeah.
Revelation 19, his wife has made herself ready.
Right.
His wife had put on the garment. What? That garment. She didn't need the eternal garment. It's on the inside. We need to work on the spirit realm of man. Don't worry about the flesh. You don't sin with your flesh. Oh, boy. You don't. Your flesh can't sin. That was born in sin. But your flesh can't sin. Whatever's inside of it makes it do what it's doing. God didn't have to take this, unscrew this arm off that drank beer before. Sorry. Some of you did too. He didn't have to unscrew this arm off and put a brand new Holy Ghost arm on this. No, he cleaned this one up.
Right.
He cleaned this up.
Right.
He cleaned us all up.
Right.
Amen? And if you can't realize that, then you need to get born again. You need to realize what God's already done for you. My, that's the birth pains. Birth pains happen every day to us. It should happen every day, but there's going to one day be where we come to a place to where that doesn't bother us anymore. Brother Branham come to a place, he said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham anymore. Why? He wasn't denying that he wasn't a human anymore. He just realized that God had transformed him so much to where he looked more like him, Christ, than he did his own original parents. Because it's obvious he didn't act like his daddy natural. His daddy was a drunk. Right? Fought people, bad temper, right? And I think Brother Brown might have had that problem when he was younger. Oh, don't talk about a prophet like that. Yeah, he tried to kill a guy, tried to kill some kids, right? Tried to commit suicide a couple times. Put the little thing around his finger, the string around his finger, and then, you know, the lady said tie it 10 times, and he said he threw the thing off and went running after whoever it was. Yeah. You know what he done? God worked and took that temper that he had and showed him right there that the temperance had been done away with. Amen? But you got to come to a place to where Brother Brown, then what did he do? When he got the Holy Ghost, he said, I loved him. Remember, he wanted to kill that guy that he said, I wanted to kill, on tape, kill the man that, remember, he gave him gave Fritz a little button, you know, we used to call him poison. Poisoned his dog and killed him. He said, I'm going to kill that man. I see him on the street, I'm going to kill him. And that's what he said. He said, but what did he do? He said, after I got born again, he said, I actually witnessed to the man, right, baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. So, you know what? There's transforming power. Right. That was a birth pain the prophet had to go through. Right. The birth pain you and I all have to go through. Right. And we're not getting anywhere. I was going to be real short for Wednesday night. So anyway. All right. Number 3, the seventh seal. Now we're to the age of the eagle, the revelation to be revealed, the whole thing. Now compare this with Revelations, the 10th chapter, verse 1 through 7. And we'll see here in this Revelations here, 10, 1 through 7, that in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel's message was to finish up, all the mysteries of God. Now that's not what the Bible says. Remember, the Bible says mystery. There's only one mystery. And you know what that mystery is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what the Bible says. Christ in, not Christ in William Branham, Christ in you. Christ in you makes you part of that.
Amen?
Amen? And you got to be revealed. So what the mystery, to me the whole mystery is, John typed all the bride. Well, he's the one that wrote about it in Revelations 10. Then John takes the little book, John eats the little book, and John prophesies. So I believe it's John, the type of the bride, the whole bride. Here's John typing the bride doing the work. It says in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. But remember, when John went to take the book, he did not take it out of the seventh angel messenger's hand. He took it out of the mighty angel's hand. If we don't get this message through Christ, we have lost everything. Amen? I love that. I wish we had one of those. Maybe I'll go to Brother Claude and steal it from him. He's got a picture, a big picture of Brother Branham when he, some of you read the old indictment book, the old book. It's got that picture of Brother Branham pointing in this direction like this. Well, he's got that picture on a big like this, but right beside of it is that. He said, and underneath it says, only a true prophet will point you to Christ. So you can see where he's pointing right straight to Christ. All right. Christ is the theme of this whole thing, not even ourself. All right, where am I at? Now we find out this is the sixth seal now being opened. It was for a threefold purpose. All right, now this is what we're going to talk about. Now here was the purposes, three of them. The first thing was the sleeping virgins had to go through the tribulation period for purification. We know that. All right. The five wise and the five foolish. Five wise left. The five foolish had to stay and go through the tribulation period. She had to be purged of her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message. This she was done in the tribulation period. Because that's what the foolish virgin is. She's really a virgin. I mean, she's virgin. She's come to a place to where she thinks she's clean. And got the Holy Ghost. But she doesn't have the Holy Ghost. That's why she has to go through the tribulation. But she'll be given eternal life for what she stands for in the tribulation period. She will be killed. Because that's why this she was done in the tribulation period. We see they wind up over here in Revelation 7, between the 6th and 7th chapter, that she had been purged and she had been given her robes. All right, now she's not the bride, but it's the church, the pure people that didn't have the opportunity maybe to receive the message, or in some way that they were blinded by these false prophets, false message preachers. And they didn't get a chance, and yet they're really sincere in heart. And God knows their heart. That's the whole thing. God knows your heart. And here they're purged during this time. You notice that another purging time, that's for Israel when she's gathered. That's the second fold, or the second thing. God purges Israel in the tribulation period. Now, not all of Israel. Out of the millions that'll gather there. Now, remember, they're all gathering to the homeland looking for the Messiah. But only 144,000 is going to know that the Messiah's already come. That's the second fold. God purges Israel in the tribulation period. Out of the millions that will gather there, there'll be a selected 144,000, and they'll be purged also. God's purging Israel. Why? Because of all the things they did, rejecting them at the cross and all those different things. Let his blood be on us and our children. They fell from being bride. But they do get a position. That's what I'm telling about. They fell from one position to another position, but they're still going to get eternal life. But they're never going to be able to be bride. Okay? But they'll have eternal life. Notice there's a whole earth. Now this is number three. There's a whole earth to be purged. There'll be such a thing that the moon, stars, and all nature will be purged. You see what it is. The earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. The millennium's coming up, and see, everything that's got it filth in it has to be purged during the sixth seal. Because listen, when we're gone, God for 3.5 years is going to, he's going to pour out tribulation on the whole world. Then in the middle of the 70th week is the Battle of Armageddon. So Brother Branham says, the Battle of Armageddon. Well, after the Battle of Armageddon, well, what's the Battle of Armageddon? It's all heck breaks loose. The whole world goes into an atomic chaos, right? But we come back in the millennium, it's cleaned off enough for Christ to come back and put his feet on the earth. But I believe, this is just me, this is my quote. I can't find one where Brother Brown said it, but I'm just going to say it this way. The reason Christ can come back is because we've already stepped here in glorified bodies. Hello? We've already had a body change way before that, way before the millennium starts. Let's just say we all get a body change tomorrow. Well, Christ still can't come on the earth, right? Remember, we meet him in the air with our glorified eternal, boy, that ought to make old people happy, a glorified eternal body. Amen. And we meet him in the air, go to the marriage supper while all this is going on, wedding supper, and while this is all going on, then we come back with him in Revelation 19 as the wife, coming back into the millennium to live the 1,000 years. But you know what? Means nothing to us. But if Christ is coming back with us and he's got this whole group of seven church ages, they've all got their body changed. He's had a body change a long time ago. But now he's be able to step into this dimension because you and I, as recipients of the perfection of Christ, do you hear what I'm saying? As recipients of the perfection of Christ, we're already on this earth cleaning it off. That's why when we leave, this world's going, hey, you forgot us. This thing needs to be changed. And all we're going to do is say, hey, we'll be back. Don't worry. Let it clean all this sin off. Let it burn all this junk off for a little while. We'll come back. But remember, as Brother Dale's been preaching, Even the millennium is not an eternal position.
Right.
It is for us. But this world is not completely eternal at the time.
Right.
It's just us that walk on it.
Because
God can't be all in all. Because
right.
You got dead saints that live not for 1,000 years. You got the foolish virgin. You've got a cup of water in my name. You got all those ones that are dead that's got to come up to the white throne judgment. Well, then he's not all in all.
Right.
He's all in all in his bride. He's all in all in 144,000 and the fifth sealed Jew, but not the whole world. Then the whole world's got to be judged at the white throne judgment. But oh, thank God we don't have to stand in that. We're standing in the judgment, not being judged. Oh man, come on people, good grief. Whatever you do, sure, repent, get it over and get it done with, but you can't sin enough to be lost if you're born again. Amen. That ought to, where's Aaron? That don't stir your soup, your spoons fell out of your bowl. I finally said it. Anyway. Where was I at? Notice there's a whole earth to be purged. It will be such a thing as the moon. Now remember, when I see that word earth, you know, if those of you that's heard me many, many, many times, when I see earth, that word earth, I don't think of this round ball that we're sitting on, standing on. Because this earth's got to be changed first. This earth's got to go through birth pains. This earth's got to go through an earthquake.
Amen?
Amen? This earth's got to go through a purging. You and I must come. That sixth seal purging is so sanctified till it sanctifies that outside person you're sitting in right now.
Amen?
And it'll change it back young. Because what's inside of you is young already. I hope you understand that. When I look at you, I don't look at age. I look at a 20-year-old person. Mr. Cleta? You laugh all you want to. I don't see her as an old person. I see her as a young, vibrant. You say, well, get up out of the bed and you'll know that. That circumstance is in this dimension. We got to let that thing that's inside of us out. Our stinking thinking's what's putting us in the grave. Everybody okay? So the world, the whole earth. So you and I have to go first. Because the whole world is waiting on you and I. I read that in Romans. Waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. So that you and I will come to a place to where your body will yield to what's inside of it. That's what's going to happen. Your theophany is not hanging in heaven somewhere. You are your theophany. You are that Holy Ghost inside of you. That is your theophany. And it's not the soul of Wade Dale anymore. It's the soul of Almighty God. We just haven't been able to believe that yet. I'm just telling you what he said. But now what's going to happen? Let's look at this next quote. We all know that's the identification. We know what the third pull is. Well, now we're going to read another quote where Brother Brown, we know the third pull is the opening of the Word. The third pull was the opening of the seven seals, all right? This is 1964, and we all know that's the identification. We know what the third pull is. We all understand that. I doubt that at that time, but we should now more understand it than ever. Because, look, come on, people, the third pull is not it's not an event of a tent or an airplane. I'll tell you what he said it was right here. It's the opening of the Word. It's a word pull. It's the third pull. It's what's pulling you is the Word of God, not some event. We all understand that because watch, if the third pull, well, let's just read it. Now you have the tape. I think it'll just lay dormant for a while. Now the third pull is the opening of the Word. That can't lay dormant, but the manifestation of it can. All
right?
Because the third pull is what's going to get us out of here. That's what's going to get us out of here. The opening of the word is what's going to get us out of here. Right. The third pull is going to be what? Speaking the word and stuff comes to pass. Because
right.
what did Brother Brown tie all that to? He tied it to the fish. He tied it to the squirrels. He tied it to Hattie Wright. He tied it to Sister Mita. All those five things that went, that happened was because of what he said. Another, not an event. Sure, we had events. We had the cloud. We had the picture and all that. That's not what he put it on. He put that third pull on the opening of the word.
Amen.
Amen. And I think that it'll just lay dormant for a little while until the great hour of persecution. Now, the hour of persecution is not here. Oh, yeah, we got little minor persecutions. I'm talking about that's when it be. It'll speak. It'll be manifested just like the five straight signs without failure perfectly. Now, I think just wait, see what it done. Now, I'm going back, same again, through and through, to find out. In other words, he's going back to Jeffersonville, I think, is what he was doing. But now let's go to the next one. Now, I'm just telling you what he said. Now, remember, notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on, in other words, not in the healing campaign, that was not the prophet's message. Right? It was not his message. It was the bait on the hook. He wanted you to get the hook, not the bait. But you have to have bait on the hook. Now, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. Now, that's the opening of the seals. Here it is. See, the first pull, healing. That was the first part of his ministry. Second pull, prophesying. What? Take people by the... Instead of taking them by the hand, he would sit there and tell them what was in their heart. Third pull, the opening of the word. What? The seals, the mysteries revealed. No more. There's no more higher order to reveal the word than prophet. So we had to have a prophet in the end time.
Right.
But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word.
Right.
And remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. Do you see it? Congregation says amen. I doubt they did. But anyway. We see it. We should. We're recipients of that. Everybody all right with that? You are the recipient of that. I read you about 10 times during this whole seal series where Brother Branham said it's gone from you. It's not for you. You're not supposed to get it. He's talking about them on questions and answers. He said, just go and live a simple life. It's not for you. Well, it's got to be for somebody. Because God don't just cast his word out and it will not return void.
Right.
It will accomplish what it said. Well, the accomplishment is now. You and I now have seen those seals open and we see the thunder underneath the seal. That it's not just a white horse rider of the Antichrist. It's not just a red horse rider of the Antichrist. No, it's the plan of redemption.
Right.
It's the full plan of redemption. Not just the born again experience, but the full man. The full, when the seventh seal is revealed, that's God standing on earth in human flesh.
Right.
Your flesh.
Amen.
Glory. He's not got a flesh on earth.
Right.
Besides you.
Right.
All right, let's look at this real quick. Put up. All right, roll it up to the next one. So let's just look. We did this last Sunday, so let's just back up just a minute. Fifth seal is justification. We look and see that now, what is justification? Justification is what? The real you didn't do it. Not just, now look, baby form justification is that God forgive you of your past sins. He has justified you. But the old root of evil is still there. That's not what this, we're up higher now. Everybody okay with that? I know some that's not been here. I'm trying to go back through a little bit. But baby form justification is God's chopped off your past sins, never to remember them anymore, but the next day you're going to keep sinning because the same old root of evil is still there.
Right.
Amen? But God is just to forgive you as if you didn't do it.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
When you become sanctified in baby form sanctification and justification, baby form, Brother Brown said, God picks the glass up because he wants to do something with it. All right. What does he do at sanctification? He washes it out, clean and set aside for service.
Right.
Amen. If he cleans and set aside for service, then what's he going to do? He's going to come in by the Holy Ghost and fire. He's going to put something in that glass and seal it. That's why there's only one seal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. All right, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not understanding what I'm saying anyway. Amen? So you got to have the Holy Ghost. The one that's talking to you tonight is the same one that wrote the book.
Amen.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about if I quote you the word, that's the word quoting the word.
Right.
But this justification is not as if you didn't do it. It's not just chopping off your past sins. No, we've come to a justification where that fifth sealed Jew, God had to completely wipe their slate clean. And they didn't even want it. What about grace? You and I, one day, we didn't want it. Remember, you didn't go looking for God. God come looking for you. And what's the first thing we did? Right? But he caught you. Because he wants you to come to a place of this justification, in this fifth seal justification, where the real you didn't do it anyway.
Right.
Talking about grace. He gave eternal life to a fifth seal Jew that did not even care he was on the earth.
Amen.
The Messiah. They were killed under Eichmann and Hitler just because they were Jews. Not because they were religious, not because they knew the message of the hour. They weren't even born again. But God had to blind their eyes purposely so that you and I could come in. Amen. So he gives them eternal life. He so justifies everything they do to where, excuse me, they have white robes. Think about that. That's not just as if you didn't do it. The real you didn't do it. That inside of the inside never sinned a day in its life. But do we realize that?
Right.
And then this sixth seal, sanctification. What is sanctification? Cleaned and set aside for service. Something's got to be cleaned and set aside before the millennium can come.
Right. Right.
Amen? Something's got to be cleaned and set aside before you get a body change. Because remember, I said this thing don't sin. It doesn't. But it is sinful.
Yeah.
It was born in sin.
Oh, yeah.
It was shaping in iniquity. Came the wrong way.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? But you know what God's going to do with the Holy Ghost and fire? When that seventh seal hits the earth, he's going to burn every molecule that you got from your mom and daddy and change you.
Glory.
Not a different body. Same body. It'd be real easy to throw this one away and get you another one.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not redemption, that's replacement.
Right.
Listen, when a prophet stood one day and he said, God took this one and bred him to this one. He took this one and bred him to this one. Took this one and bred him to this one just to get you here.
Right.
Think of how you came.
Right.
Just think. Think back how you came. Think back how your mama came. How your mama's mama, how your daddy's mama, how they all met. Just to get you here. Because there was an image. There was an image in God's mind. He was going to have it. It didn't matter what.
Right.
You might have somebody that lives over here and then somebody lives over there. And they were telling me a story in the Philippines. I'll not go through it for save time. But it was just miraculous how they got together. Hated each other's guts. Got married. And had a preacher that was standing there. I thought, well, my, take two people that hate each other, humanly, but then they fell in love and had him. And then here he is, a wonderful message preacher in the Philippines. I mean, you know, God works in mysterious ways. But he did. Listen, God's got this whole thing. He had to bring your image. That's what he saw before the foundation of the world. He's got to bring it here. He's got to bring it here because you're his children. Now we know he had to come through flesh. We know we had to come through that because of what? Because of the fall. But look right here. We got to believe that we are him. Brother Brown, I'll read the quote. She is him. Now remember, there is no way, even after 40 years of marriage, June and I, if we went to the doctor and they took a DNA test, they would see two separate people. Because my DNA is different from hers because she came from her parents and I came from mine, right? But now, we got to go back to Adam and Eve. We got to go back to Adam and Eve where you took Adam, if you could take a hair from Adam and a hair from Eve, put it under the microscope, and the scientists would go, there's no way. There's no way these two people can have the same exact DNA. Because the Bible says we'll have a body likened to his glorious body. We will be changed in our DNA, not to change our shape, but to be him. She is him. She's not like him. The devil's like him. She is him. That's why I said if we're not the I am, we're probably the I was or the I'm going to be. But I like I am, ever present for eternity. All right, let's read a couple quotes here. I'm not going to get finished, but you know what? I got Sunday. I love this. Thank you, Brother Dale. Let's read this. Watch this right here. That's what he proved, hallelujah. That's what Easter proved. He wasn't only the Word. Was he something else? No. But he was God himself. Now watch. Now we can say amen to that, but can you put your name in there? Can you read the Bible where it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and not think of Jesus? It's you. He's the first fruit. He's already done his job and he's left. He's come back to give you that scripture. Because if it's I and you and me, hey, listen, let me get back to my point here just a second. There's no way that June and I can be one as that is one. Yeah. We're always different DNA because God had to breathe this one to this one, this one to this one, this one to this to get you here. Because of the sin curse, because of the natural between husband and wife coming together and having a baby. All right. But still, that's, Brother Brown said, that's more miraculous than the virgin birth. When you've got billions of cells released and many eggs released, and then here you are. Right. All the rest of them died except you. Right. The virgin birth was God created egg and sperm, put it in a womb. That was pretty simple. But to get you here, think about it. Don't think of yourself as something special, but you are something special.
Glory.
You got brought here special. We all got here the same way, but we were still special in God's eyes. But he was God himself, the dynamics in the Word. Now, I want you to listen to this real close. That made the body of Jesus Christ. Because remember, like I said, if we're going back to the Garden of Eden, we got to go back to where our DNA is the same as his.
Right.
Husband and wife are truly one. Listen, Adam and Eve were definitely one.
Right. Amen.
They were one. Her DNA and his DNA, you put them under there, looked at. But see, you can't ever do that now. Because we come from separate DNA. Our DNA comes all the way down from one side of the family and the other. Well, not with Adam and Eve. They were created. God's going to create again. He's going to create again. He's going to put us right into the position we were supposed to be had there not been a fall. That's redemption. Redemption is not taking this and dropping it down here and then putting it over here. If it fell from here, that's where God's got to put it back.
Right.
If it fell from right here, which was Adam and Eve 1, same DNA, same theophany.
Right.
Ooh. Same theophany. Mm-hmm. Same theophany. That's what Brother Brown said. Shake into life and rise again, roll away the stone. Now look, the body of Jesus Christ. Now on Saturday, his body was cold, stiff, dead, and in the grave.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Shook into life and rise again and roll away the stone. I am he that was dead. So dead till the sun said he was dead. The moon said he was dead. The stars said he was dead. All nature said he was dead. All nature said he was dead. What are we talking about? Nature. And now the whole world has to recognize that he's alive again.
Right.
He was not only the mechanics, God's word, he was the dynamics to prove it.
Right.
Excuse me. And as he being the groom, listen to this. As he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's a second person of him. Oh. Because it's a part of him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any others have spoke of the bride. The whole Bible speaks of you. Listen, I told you many years before, you're not a type. You're the bride. All, everything types the bride in the Bible, but you are the bride. You're not a second person. It can only manifest. All the revelations others have spoke of the bride, it can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she is flesh of his flesh. Adam said that before the fall. He looked at Eve and he said, she is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, life of my life, power of his power. She is him. As man and women are one, woman are one. Excuse me, that tape didn't say, I didn't say women. Woman. You only have one wife. As man and woman are one, why would you want another one? And man and woman are one, and woman taken from his side, where were you and I taken from? The side of Christ at Calvary. She had taken the spirit, the feminine spirit from him, the flesh from his side, made both mechanics and dynamics the wife.
Amen.
The spirit of him and the flesh of him. And put it together and made mechanics and dynamics until the church or the people. Until that church becomes both dynamics and mechanics and the spirit of God that moved him to do the things that he did. If he hit on 16 cylinders, so will the bride.
Right.
Amen. For he said in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. I'll give him a charge of my dynamics in his mechanics, that the world will not be able to withstand it. There's your birth pains. The world can't hold us here. And I will raise him up again at the last day. That's the Easter message. The dynamics and the mechanics together. The mechanics without the dynamics, no good. Neither is the dynamics without the mechanics. You can scream and shout and jump up and down all you want to and deny this word. It won't do you any good. You're just cranking around the pistons. Got the spark there, but no gasoline to fire it.
Right.
It'll only work as they come together. Amen?
Glory.
So one will set still, and the other will go up. That's the only thing there is to it. In other words, the church will stay here, and the bride will go up. Right. Yet they both look alike. Both claim to be churches. Both claims to be bride. But one has mechanics and dynamics. It brings it to pass if what he said is the truth. It just won't move no matter how good the mechanics is until the dynamics come. When the dynamics come, that fire is made to connect with that octane in the gasoline. And when that explodes, it causes the combustion. And that combustion moves every motion, every move, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to literally explode. What's inside of us can't hold what's on the outside. We're going to literally explode.
Right.
And we're going to see all this not too far.
Yeah.
Not too far in the future. We're looking right at it now. We just got to get some things in order here.
Right.
Okay, is that all right? All right, let's read this one right here. Number 7. I've been going pretty good. It's almost not even 8:30 yet. That's the divine revelation of the Word made flesh. Now, this is the rising of the sun. It's not a continuation. It's down a little bit further, paragraph 168. What is the divine revelation of the Word made flesh? He'll tell you right there. That's the divine revelation of the Word made flesh. If it was flesh in that day by the Son, the groom, it's the flesh today by the bride. We have spent 50 years trying to get this flesh lined up. when there's little devils going on inside, and this ain't going to ever do you any good, this flesh.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Your flesh don't sin.
Right.
Your flesh don't sin.
Right.
The motivator inside of it does it.
Right.
I don't hold a beer anymore. I still got the same hand. Right. Still got the same mouth. Said some really bad things out of it. Mama tried one time to wash it out with soap. That doesn't really do any good. It's kind of temporary. But once I got, she did. But once I got the inside washed, well, hallelujah. Once I got the inside washed, she didn't have to wash my mouth anymore. God washed it. He washed it by the new birth. So it's the flesh today by the bride. Whosoever sins you remit. Oh, my Lord, Brother Branham. Goodness gracious. Because remember, I think before this, there was a woman, remember, after the marriage and divorce situation, Brother Branham, this woman comes up and says, you made yourself God. You forgive them of their sins. He's telling her the truth. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain to them are retained. You know my example of that, you know. When we walk through the world, how's the world going to be judged? They're going to be judged by you. You will judge the world.
Right.
And whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted.
Yeah.
God changes your tire. He don't really care anything about the Lord. He just does you a good favor, and then we get over to the other side. God gives him eternal life because you're going to sit there and you're going to say, Lord, you said a cup of water in your name on earth will not be forgotten in heaven. Well, who's remitting the sin? We know Christ is, but through you, that person will get eternal life. But now, it works the other way too. Whosoever sins you retain, to them they are retained. Be careful. Now the Catholic Church picked it up and takes it to their priest, but that's carnal. Watch, it was the spiritual revealed word that did it. Not an emotion, but the spiritually revealed word that did it.
Glory.
All right? Amen? Seeds not air with a shuck. Let's read this one, and I'm going to stop right here because I'll pick it up Sunday. Is that all right? Then along came sanctification. How many believes in sanctification? Sure, cleaned and set aside for service, Brother Branham. He's not talking about that anymore. Watch what he's saying down here. He's not talking about that sanctification. We're not talking about that sanctification anymore. Listen, if you've got to be sanctified, like the first part of sanctification, you're still dirty on the inside.
Right. Right.
This sanctification is going to so clean this guy.
Yeah. Right.
And along came sanctification. How many believe in sanctification? If you believe a lie of the Bible, you have to. Sure. So still that's not.
Right.
It's a little more like. That's two more words.
Right.
But then come the Pentecost, the restoration of the gifts. Speaking in tongues, they call it the initial evidence. Speaking in tongues, there they call the initial evidence, which brought forth the what? The shuck.
Right.
But they denominated. But when you, I want you to make that personal, you, when you, Bob Black, comes to say, I and my Father are two, now how close was Jesus and his Father? He was the Father made manifest in human flesh. When you come to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, like the I am we're talking about, then the shuck pulls away. Because you know what? You can stand up here and you don't need discernment. When you start preaching and get it so close to where we say the I am, where that we say we came from God, we go back to God, where we saying the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and when we point it to not me, myself, person, but to us as the bride, it makes a lot of you nervous.
Right.
It made a lot of people in the Philippines nervous. Why? They'd never seen it that close.
Sure.
You're either going to see it that close or the shuck's going to pull away. Because look, the shuck can't stand being because it is not the real grain.
Right.
I'm just telling you what Brother Brown said.
Right.
Then the shuck pulls away from it. What? From the people that say, I and my Father are one.
Exactly right.
And these other things. But the real, genuine bride church will bring forth the entire Word of God.
Right.
in its fullness and in its strength, for he's the same yesterday, today,
glory,
and forever. Amen. Let's go to number 10, and I'm going to stop right there, and I'll pick it up Sunday right here in birth pains. Is that all right? We'll be done right here. Musicians, get ready to come. Notice quickly. Now, this is in birth pains. Now, notice quickly. Now, she is in that stage beyond a shadow of a doubt. We're in the Laodicean church age. So beyond a shadow of a doubt, we're still in the Laodicean church age.
Yeah.
Now, we've been birthed out of the age, but we still, you got to go home in your Laodicean car. You got to turn your Laodicean air conditioner on, and you got to turn your Laodicean Netflix. Where's Lewis when I need him? Now, her messenger is promised. Now, look, in Malachi, the fourth chapter, so what's he doing? He's identifying what he's talking about. Because remember, listen, folks, no disrespect. God had to speak through Brother Branham. But even when Brother Branham was, I was just reading it, where he was baptizing 500 people, that angel never said you would bring the second coming of Christ. In every quote, he said, the angel says, your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. Your message. Sure, it had to come through him, but you and I are that message. Without that, it's just one person.
Amen.
You and I are that. We're the recipient.
That's it.
And the message is to bring back the word, bring the people back to the word. Birth is to be, she's to be delivered of a new birth. Now look, not a new birth to make it different. You still got to go through justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost. But there's no other people in the world have ever brought justification up to the part that Brother Brown did.
Right.
Nobody has brought sanctification up to the part Brother Brown talked about. Nobody has ever opened that seventh seal and showed you that the Holy Ghost is going to change your body.
Yeah.
Sure, we read it in the Bible and we hear a prophecy, but you are a recipient of that.
Right.
Birth is to be, she's to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. In the church world today, there's two systems working. In the message church, there's two systems working. In the church world today, there's two systems working. Now listen real close. Listen, Satan's not out there. He's here. He wants to disrupt this. He don't want to disrupt that. He wants to disrupt this so he gets to church before you do. He's here when you're not. And he leaves after you leave. Well, actually, he leaves with you. Now I want to see if you're going to say amen on this, okay? There are two systems working in the church world today. I'm going to get this off my shoulder. I think I just did that. And then I have it over with. We all know that that's the Word of God and the denominational system. There is the two systems at work, just as they was, Jacob and Esau, one after the spirit, the other after the flesh.
Exactly.
Amen? You got all that fleshly emotion and all that, but you got the people that love the Word of God, and God anoints the Word, and then signs have to follow.
Right.
Signs have to follow believers. Believers don't follow signs.
Right.
I'm telling you, and I told y'all a long time ago, you just wait. Somebody's going to raise up and have all kinds of signs and wonders, and people are going to flock all after him like crazy. And if you're not grounded in the Word, you'll go too. Because it ain't going to matter what he says. You just want to see the prayer lines and the healings and all back to what Brother Brown did. That's gone. That's carnal reform. I read that to you a long time ago. Brother Brown said, that's not even supposed to be this way. I read you the quote. Paul says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, of laying on of hands, and of baptism. What? Go on to what? Perfection.
Amen.
Sure, we're perfected in our soul. Y'all come on. Musicians, come on. But you and I are recipients of the whole book. We're recipients of every revelation, every mystery. That's why Brother Brown said the mystery is now history. Why? You're the mystery.
Right.
I thought if Christ was a mystery and if Christ is in you, that makes you the mystery.
Right.
Listen, we're a mystery to the world.
Right.
I hope you're a mystery to the world. It's like I told you about that brother that came and sat down at our minister's meeting there in the Philippines. He said, I've never met a denomination like you. Well, I'm glad he saw a difference.
Right.
I said, we're not a denomination. I said, we believe, you know, we don't believe that. We don't believe only our headship's Christ. And I'll follow up on that because Brother Royal's back in the Philippines now, so maybe I'll follow up on him what happened with that brother. So let's stand on our feet. God bless you. The Word is made flesh.
Amen.
In your flesh.
Right.
The flesh of Jesus is not here. But the flesh of Jesus is here in a multi-membered body in the bride of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how old we get. Brother Kylie, when he first started coming here, he's a young man. And now he's still a young man. He just got some miles. He's traveled a lot of miles. Let me tell you something. How long have you, since what, 70, what, four? 71? You've drove from Ellenwood, Georgia, which is how far from here? 72 miles. He knows that exactly. 72 point what? 72 miles. Every service. And on Wednesday, you see him here? What's your excuse? And he's only like 50 years old. He looks kind of old, but he's just, no, he's 70 what? 75. He's 75. 75. See, now, I see God in human flesh. Don't worry about the age factor. I see God in human flesh because what? It's a reflection of what's inside of him. That desire to get here, that desire to come is in Brother Collie.
Right.
Amen? Should be in all of us. But listen, we are the Word made manifest. We got to be. This, like I said, quit worrying about this guy. When you sin in your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination.
Right.
Think about it. Your flesh don't sin. You sin in your memory, reasoning, conscious, affection, and imagination, that five outer rim, or second rim, because if you're born again, there's none of that in there. That's all been driven out. You're perfect. You're that same light that struck Moses. You're that same light that struck Paul down, and you're that same light that walked the shores of Galilee. You're that same light that was over Brother Brown's head. That same light's inside of you, or are these two people?
Right.
Oh, that's too close, by the way. No, it ain't close enough. Because we're still here.
Exactly.
When we get to believe in it, we'll leave this place. There'll be such a birth pain, we'll talk about this Sunday. God bless you. Go ahead. We'll finish the birth pains part two.
These are the of Elijah,
let's sing a song.
Declaring the word of the Lord.
It's in that little book you got there somewhere.
And these are the
I don't have any voice.
Days of your servant Moses and righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trial.
You can take it out of this one.
Of famine and darkness and sore. We are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on a cloud, shining like the sun at the trumpet's call. Lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee.
This is our jubilee year. This is it for us. Because of God sending a prophet and us believing and being a recipient of that. Not just listening to it and being an outsider. No, we've stepped into that veil. We've stepped behind that place where nobody can go but the bride of Jesus Christ. Anybody have a need? This is the harvest time.
And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord.
Behold,
he comes,
yes,
riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet's call. Lift your voice. Christmas. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
We know who that is. That Jehovah they talk about living inside of you.
He comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, hear your voice. It's a year of jubilee.
Salvation. Say it one more time. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud,
shining like the sun.
At the trumpet's call, hear his voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
All that is you. All that is us. We are the daughters of Zion. We are God made manifest in another form called a bride. Now that's what he said. That's what Brother Brown said. It's what the Bible said. Jesus said, and we'll get to it Sunday. He said, I and you and me. I and you, you and me. That comes under this sixth seal, purging, because I and you, which is him, the Holy Ghost, but when you're so washed and so worthy that you can go back into him.
Right.
Amen? That was the problem. Eve couldn't get back in the side of Adam.
Right.
Remember, God sewed the spot up. But when Christ came back, he still had an opening. So that we could get back in. And that he and she are one.
Glory.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this night. We pray that you'd be with us on our way home, Lord. Thank you for giving us strength. Lord, there are many things that we're all going through, trials and tribulations. Father, I pray that you would manifest yourself through all of these situations that we all have, Lord, of life. But Lord, through all this, we look to one thing. The author and finisher of our faith. This is the finishing of it all. These that are standing here before me, Lord, are the chosen generation to take this thing out of here. Father, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go home with God. God bless you. That is in me.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion running to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his praise, to fall in some we got. But God has promised us today is over. And mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I got it too. I gotta let the whole